Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Chaf Gimel. We mentioned that the Plishtim were all gathered for war against Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael were on one mountain, the Plishtim were on the other. And then Yonason crossed over with his lad, and they ended up surprising a surprise attack, and the Plishtim were in a mass chaos, and there was a confusion. They started running away, and all the Yidden that were together with the Plishtim, or Yidden that were in hiding, everyone all of a sudden appeared and joined the Jewish forces, and the Plishtim were defeated. And Pasuk Chof Gimel, Vayosha Hashem Bayomahu Es Yisrael, Hashem saved on that day Klal Yisrael, a similar lashon like you have by Kriyas Yamsuf. It was a miracle. As it started off with just the two people, we discussed before how the Plishti army was tremendous, like the sand by the seashore, and it was just Yonason and his lad, the two of them. And miraculously, they were able to spark a whole defeat for the Plishtim. Vayosh Hashem bayomu es Yisrael, Hashem saved on that day, Klal Yisrael, v'hamilchama avra es beis oven. And the milchama passed by the place beis oven. We mentioned earlier the Plishtim were camped in a place Michmash, which was on the east of Beis Oven. The Plishtim themselves lived on the coast, on Gaza, on the coast of the Mediterranean, which is all the way on the west of Eretz Yisrael. So if they passed Beis Oven, they're sort of heading back to their territory. V'ish Yisrael nigas bayomahu. The Jewish man, the Jewish soldier was nigas. They were under a lot of pressure by Yom Ahu on that day. The simple meaning is, as Rashi says, they were under a lot of pressure in this battle with the Plishtim. This was their moment of victory, and they had to seize the opportunity, and there was a tremendous push to complete the success. Vayoel Shol es ha'om leimor. Shaul made the people make a shvua. He gave them they swore that Orur Ha'ish, and it's a shvua that's accompanied with a curse. They're swearing, and it's with a curse, that Orur Ha'ish asher yochal lechem ad ho'erev. There's a curse on the person who eats lechem, who eats bread, or eats till nighttime. V'nikam timei oivai, I should have a chance to get the revenge from my enemies, to finally punish the enemies of Klal Yisrael. V'lotom kol ha'om lochem. The whole people did not eat. They didn't eat bread. Some learned that the people in B'nai Yisrael were under pressure because Vayol Sholas Om, the Radak mentions, the Ish Yisrael was Nigas B'yomahu. They felt a lot of pressure on that day because Shaul had them swear not to eat. And therefore they were fighting a war, and they weren't able to eat anything. So that created the tremendous pressure that the people were under. The question is why Shaul did this. Shaul obviously felt that if the people would eat, they might lose the chance of victory. Now the two ways, as the Malbim explains, the two ways Klal Yisrael could have understood this. The word lechem means bread. The word lechem also is a general term for a meal, because the bread is the mainstay, is the staple of the meal. You say amotzi lechem in aretz, everything in the meal that's included is included with amotzi lechem. The lechem is the main part of the meal, but it includes other things, possibly. Also, why did Shaul make this shavua with a klola that nobody should be able to eat the whole day? Was his intention that as soon as the Plishtim started running away and Klal Yisrael sees that they have victory, they might stop and have something to eat? And once they start and they take a break, it already things can schlep out and it takes longer and they lose the opportunity, and then it's nighttime and the victory is never really with a makat b'patish. They never really finish up the victory. Was that Shaul's intention? Or was Shaul's intention because as a sign of tshuva and as kapara and part of the tefillah, this is a miracle from Hashem. It's not shelo kederach hateva that the two people should be able to bring about such a victory. Yonason and his nar, his lad. It's so clearly a nes min hashamayim. Now's a chance for tshuva and to put everything should be totally in Hashem. And therefore, if we don't eat, that should help in a ruchniyistic level, that Klal Yisrael should be zeichet to a complete victory. Now, we'll see in a moment, that could be interpreted two ways. So it could be, cursed is the person asher yochal lechem. It means don't have a meal. Nobody's allowed to eat a meal until nighttime. It could mean a person's not allowed to taste anything. This is like a fast on which you don't eat at all. First of all, the people didn't even taste bread. Whereas even if it wasn't a meal, even, you know, like the din, if you have a small amount of lechem, it's not considered a meal, a te'ima, right? Like you can taste outside of the sukkah. You know, it's a small amount is okay. But they didn't even take a small amount of bread. And we'll see in a moment, they all came into the forest when they were pursuing after the plishtim, and there was honey on the surface of the field. The people came to this forest, and the honey was just flowing. It was readily accessible. It wasn't like they had to go climbing the trees and finding the beehives, or we'll see, there's a pshat that the honey is actually sugar cane. But they didn't have to break it, or they didn't have to take the honey at all. One second, ve'ein masig yoro al piv. But nobody put his hand to his mouth, ki yori ha'omis ha'shvua, because the people were afraid that since Shoal made them all swear, they didn't taste the thing. So the people were like machmer and both chances. First of all, they didn't even taste a little bit of bread, and they didn't even take honey or something, which is like peiros and fruits, you can eat as much as you want. It's not called a meal. But they didn't even taste, they didn't eat the honey. They didn't taste the bread. They were machmer that Shoal's intention was that this is a spiritual victory, and therefore we have to strengthen ourselves and our bitachon and in our muna and our kadosh baruch hu, and that'll give us the victory. Now, Shoal could have just given a decree as the king. Let's make an announcement, nobody should eat. He's the king. And then if somebody's meirid b'malchus, if somebody rebels against the king, he's chayiv misa. If the king gives an announcement, nobody's allowed to eat today, then that becomes, you have to listen to what the king says. But it could be Shoal was so concerned with that nobody should eat, he was afraid that, what about secretly, if a person's tempted and he figures nobody sees him, he might feel the need or the possibility of eating, but if he gave him a shavua with a klola, in this manner, even secretly nobody would eat. Some learned that what happened was, we learned before, that Shoal had not waited for Shmuel in Gilgal, and he had brought the karbonos without waiting for Shmuel, and Shmuel told him, therefore you lost the Malchus will not remain by you forever. And then after that is when this battle occurred. Could be Shoal felt because he had sort of, what he had done, even though he had a rationale and he had reasons why, but what he did was interpreted as a lack of emunah in the Novi, a shortcomings in what he should have done, a lack of faith. In other words, he was acting without having the right bitachon. Could be he felt, therefore now he had to make an extra effort to strengthen and to show that everything's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe he didn't wait for the Navi before, but right now he's leaving everything in the hands of Hashem. Because it will see in a moment, it doesn't seem rational that an army that's fighting shouldn't be able to have their tea. Also, the people listen to Shoal. And we're going to see later on, Shoal, later when there was a battle against Amalek, Shoal explained himself, Ki oreisi esa'om. I was afraid of the people, and I sort of went along with what they wanted. This episode is a is part of a kitrugan shol. It shows that shol is wrong, because shol here made a decree that on a day of battle nobody should eat, and nobody ate. In the end of pasuk chof dalet, v'lo tom kol ha'om lochem, nobody ate. In other words, when shol said something, the people listened. Now shol was a tremendous anav, which was one of his great points. And it was a nisayon as a king not to be such an anav, but he was, on one hand, he was afraid, which we'll see later on, we'll discuss more in depth when we discuss with Amalek, but he didn't want to go against the people because he didn't know if the people would accept what he says. But here you see, he made a decree, Balotom kolom lochem, and that nobody ate. Now when they came to the Yar, they came to the Sfaras, Vahid Vash al Pnei Asodet. There was honey all over the face of the field, the surface of the land. Rashi learns that the honey we're talking about was actually sugar cane. And I was, the honey was growing like in a forest. And I was, it was a forest of sugar cane, and the honey, the sugar was dripping out, and that's why there was honey all on the surface. The sweetness of a fruit is also called honey, right? Like in the Shiva Saminim, it says, Zei Shemenu Devash, the honey there is date honey, right? It says, right, fruit sugar, right? You can make sugar out of beets also. It comes from, right? So, Vahid Devash HaPnei HaSoda, Rashi says, means sugar cane. Other Mephoshim say it could mean a beehive. And there was honey dripping out, but it was an abundance of honey that it was no effort to pick up or to get. Vihinei Helech Devash, the honey was just flowing, it was readily available without any difficulty. And even so, nobody ate. Because the people were afraid of the oath. It also shows you the people's Yirah Shemayim. They weren't afraid that the king would catch them, and who knows what kind of a punishment they would get. They were afraid that there was a Shavua, there was an oath, that a person can't go against an oath. And since the king has that power to place a Shavua on them, so they don't want to break the Shavua. The Yonasan lo shama. Now Yonasan did not hear b'hashpia aviv esa'on, when his father caused the people to swear. He wasn't there. He was together with his nar bringing about the victory. He was climbing the cliff and then he surprised the plishtim. We learned he sort of came in between the plishti forces and the main camp was surprised. All of a sudden they saw Jewish people like right so close to the main camp. They figured it must have been that the camp that was lower down the mountain must have been wiped out, and that's how Yonasan got so far up the mountain. They didn't realize that he went in between. And that's what helped bring about the victory. But so Yonasan lo shamba bashmiya over the sa'om. Yonasan didn't hear when his father placed this oath on the people. That's one excuse he has for what he did. The second thing is Vayishlach es Ketzei Hamata Asher Biyodo. What did Yonasan do? We'll see in a moment. He stuck out the end of his stick, his cane, that was in his hand, stick that was in his hand. He stuck it out, Vayitbol Oso Biyaras HaDvash, and he stuck it among the forest of honey. He stuck his stick and he stuck it into the honey, and he took a sip, Vayoshev Yodo El Piv, and he put his hand back to his mouth. And that's all he did. He didn't eat a meal. He didn't waste a lot of time in making a suda. All he did is he took a taste of honey. And the third point is, Vata'orna Einov. That's the way it's read, the Cree. Vata'orna Einov. His eyes lit up. There was a physical change in him. Meaning he was obviously under such stress, and he was so drained from his exertion, that he could be, he was, Chazal discussed, if he was on at the point of bulmus, meaning some, which is a sickness mentioned in Chazal, that sometimes a person is so drained and has such a desire for food, if he doesn't eat, that places him in a sakana. And he obviously was at the hypoglycemia. He was at such a weakness that his eyes lit up from the little bit of honey. So first of all, Yonasan didn't hear that there was a Shavua. That's a good excuse for reading if you're not sure, if you don't know that you're not supposed to. He didn't hear. Second of all, even if he would have heard, he didn't eat, he didn't make a meal. All Shaul said was, cursed is the person asher yochal lechem. A guy who eats, yochal achila means a meal normally, he eats lechem. He didn't do that. He tasted honey, which is, it's only tasting, it's only honey. And third of all, possibly he was in a sakana where for pikuach nefesh he'd be allowed anyways. Chazal discussed could be, he wasn't in a sakana, but it was obviously in a very critical, you know, it was a, whether it is a sakana or not, but it's a question. His eyes lit up. The ksiv, by the way, is vat, like vatirena einov, that his eye, he was able to see. In other words, his eyesight was dimmed. In other words, they both, it's a similar connotation. Either once he ate the honey, all of a sudden he was able to see. In other words, he almost lost his eyesight from it, or his eyes lit up. But to Orna Einov, so that's what Yonasan did. Vayan Ishmei Ha'am. One of the people there called out, Vayomer, and he said, Hashpea hishpia avicha es ha'am. Lamor. Your father made the people swear, saying, Orur ha'ish asher yoichal lechem hayom. Cursed is the person who eats bread today. Vayoaf ha'am, and the people were weary. In other words, it was clear that everybody was exhausted, but there's a shvua and we're not eating. Now, it seems, the psukim don't say it, but we're going to see in a moment that Yonasan was held responsible, and he was Shaul that actually felt he should be killed, which we'll see in a moment for eating. I saw one of the Mefarshim mentions could be the rationale was that it's true Yonasan and his lads started out alone. But as soon as the Plishtim were in this chaos and in a mass panic, they were joined by the Jews that were with the Plishtim and those that were in hiding, and the Jews that came from with Shaul. Once they had all those Yidden together and the people weren't eating, Yonasan should have asked, as exhausted as he was, he should have asked, by the way, you know, I've been gone all these hours, what happened? Did Shaul leave any instructions? Or, you know, in other words, what? You know, I see everybody obviously came to join the victory. Did the king leave any instructions? That's the only way of possibly understanding why Yonasan is held responsible. Now, the fact he didn't hear, like, how can he be held responsible? But it could be the fact that he was together with everyone else. You know, I guess if there's like a plate of cake on the table and nobody's eating and you walk in and you see there's a plate and nobody's touching it, I guess you should ask, you know, are you able to take? Everyone's exhausted and nobody's eating, so for him to go ahead and just eat without asking in general, did Shaul give any instructions? That could be what the taina was. But Shaul had said they shouldn't eat, and the people were exhausted. Now, in general, by wartime, and this is the halacha brought down in the Rambam, in wartime, a person is allowed to eat even devarim asurim, things that are usur to eat. In other words, a soldier engaged in combat, who's in enemy territory, it doesn't have to worry, is the food kosher or not. In other words, when he's going out to war, he's in a situation of sakonas nefashos, even at the moment. In other words, he's in enemy territory and he's fighting. He doesn't have to worry whether the food is kosher. He's allowed even devarim asurim, which is also something to keep in mind in terms of what Yonasan did wrong. Again, it seems the taina could have been that's only since here the enemy was already defeated, or it's, with all these things, it's difficult to understand the level that they're being held to. In other words, Yonasan, if we would do it, it wouldn't be considered wrong for us. But for Yonasan, we'll see exactly what the taina was. It could be also, Vayomer Yonasan, let's see, Chof Tes, Vayomer Yonasan. Yonasan said, Ochar Ovies Haaretz. And this is startling. I saw the Das Seferim points it out. The way Yonasan spoke is surprising a little. He said, Ochar Ovies Haaretz. my father has clouded up the whole situation. He's made everything murky. Like, imagine you have a clear pool of water and somebody kicks around the sand at the bottom and now everything's cloudy. The situation looked like a clear victory, and I don't believe it. Shaul did such a thing. My father did this. Ochar ovi esaretz, he's made the whole situation unclear. Because ru'una ki oru einai, take a look. My eyes lit up. Ki to'amti, because I tasted ma'at devash hazeh, this little bit of honey. Af, and indeed, ki lulei ochol ochal hayom ha'om, if the people would have eaten today, mishlal oiva v'asher motza, from the plunder, from the booty of his enemies, asher motza, what they find, ki ata now lo rov samakaba plishtim, wouldn't there be a very great blow against the plishtim? In other words, if I had a little bit of honey, and my eyes lit up, you can see what a little bit of energy did. I think in the U.S. Army rations, they put a chocolate bar or something, at least they used to in World War II. You put a little bit of a sugar food like that, it gives you an instant energy boost, a lift. I tasted a little bit of honey and I saw my eyes lit up. If the people would have eaten, can you imagine ki atal rov samakaba plishtim? Wouldn't there be such a tremendous blow against the plishtim? Whatever we're doing now, we could have done much more if the people would have their energy. And by going ahead and saying that nobody could eat, you're really hampering the people. They can't fight a war like that. Now again, it could be Shaul and Yonasan were actually, this is two different ways of looking at the battle. Shaul was just criticized and rebuked harshly that he didn't wait for Shmuel. Shmuel told him to wait, don't do anything till I come. And Shaul's whole reason was he felt, what happens if the enemy attacks and I didn't even bring a korban? I have to do at least bring a korban, at least daven to Hashem. And even that he was held responsible. If the Novi says wait and do nothing till I come, even to daven and bring a korban he shouldn't have done. Which it's hard to understand exactly what the taina was. I mean, Shmuel could come and Shmuel would bring other karbanos. But it was a taina against Shaul for not waiting. Shaul now went to the other extreme. This is a victory from Hashem. All we got to do is, in other words, without eating, I realize people are more tired and more famished, but that will bring us the victory. I mean, it's clear the fact that two people disappear, Yonasan and his nar, and now all of a sudden the plishtim are in running away, they're fleeing. Obviously, it's a nes min hashamayim. Leave it up to Hashem. We don't need a ishtadlus. The main thing is, even if fast, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of it. We'll just go and we'll chase after the plishtim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give nosin layoif koach. He'll give us the strength to do it. Yonasan felt, I mean, the truth is, for Shaul, he was back in there. For him, he saw everything as a miracle. Yonasan knows. He's the one who did the cliff climbing. He's the one who did it. But Yonasan felt that in terms of winning the war, it's, you have to make, the minimal hishtalus is not just to chase after the plishtim. You have to have something to eat. You can't, you know, an army travels on its stomach. You need something to eat in order to fight. So it could be they're arguing exactly how is Klal Yisrael supposed to conduct themselves in this situation. And the fact that they're in war, and could be Yonasan felt, I say it's a very harsh way to speak, and not just the king, it's his father. Ochar ovias ha'aretz, my father's ochar, he's made everything so murky, so unclear. He's done such an act that's so hard to understand why he did such a thing. That expression of ochar, you find when Shimon and Levi wiped out the city of Shechem. So Yaakov said to them, Achartemosi, the exact same type of word, Lahavisheni biyosheva oretz, you're giving me a bad, you're making me bad in the eyes of everyone who lives there, because they figured, oh, and the Mefarshim over there explain that Shimon and Levi had their reasons for wiping out Shechem, which we're not going to go into now. They had their reasons. And Yaakov Avinu was saying, you should know, even if you're legally correct and you have a right to wipe out the city. But till now, everyone figured, Klal Yisrael's not taking over Eretz Yisrael. Or maybe, who knows when, eventually they'll get Eretz Yisrael. But right now the Jews are nice neighbors, and no problem with having them around. If you go ahead and you wipe out the whole city of Shechem, all of a sudden everyone says, oh, one minute. The B'nai Yisrael are a danger. Who knows what's going to spark them into doing another act like this. So Achart Moshe made the whole situation murky, that all of a sudden now all the neighbors can come and attack. And they're going to say, we have to get rid of the Jews. Take a look at this. They wiped out the city of Shechem. Who knows what's next? They'll all get together and attack Yaakov and his sons. The same expression of Ochar Ovi Yisaretz. You know, sometimes things look peaceful, and you know, things could have been worked out. They could have gotten Din out of Shechem. They could have had everybody have a bris, and then they're all weak, and when they can't fight, you go in and you take Dina by force, and they can't stop you. But to wipe out the whole city, all of a sudden now you've placed us in danger from the whole world. Here also, Ochar Ovias Haaretz, we had a clear victory. The Plishtim were running away. Everyone can eat. They can, and they'll pursue the Plishtim further. Instead, if you say that you can't eat, and the pursuit is going to grind to a halt, so if we're all going to stop, the Plishtim can regroup and they can reattack. And in other words, you're placing all of Klal Yisrael in a sakana. It's a very forceful term, but Kubi Yonason was looking at it. You're placing Klal Yisrael in a sakana. Kubi's looking at what a Chil Hashem this could be, and as HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about a miracle. And on your own, he was never told to do this by the Novi or the Novi. On his own, he decides nobody should eat. So it's like you're going ahead and ruining the opportunity that Hashem gave you. Somebody once told me, emotionally, he said it's like, person was in a house with, and there was a flood, you know, like Katrina or something, and the guy's in his house, and the flood waters are rising. And he goes from the bottom floor to the top floor, and the waters are going higher and higher, and he goes on the roof, and he goes to the, when he's on the top floor, a boat comes and offers to give him a ride. He says, no, he has, he's relying on Hashem. He doesn't want to get the boat ride to rescue him. And then the waters are higher, and he goes to the roof, and they send a helicopter to rescue him. He says, no, he's not taking the helicopter. He's relying on Hashem. And eventually the waters rise, and he drowns. So when it comes to Shemayim, they ask, why did you allow yourself to get killed? So he said, what do you mean? I told everybody I'm relying on Hashem. So they answered him, yeah, so Hashem sent you a boat to rescue, he sent you a helicopter. In other words, what do you mean you're relying on Hashem? I sent you the means of rescue. I really, here also, as a Kodesh Baruch, it's hard to know when a person is supposed to rely on the Hishtalis and say, a Kodesh Baruch was giving you the miracle. Now you have to take advantage and eat and have your energy and win the war. Or do you say it's a miracle, and therefore we do nothing, and we leave it up to Hashem, and that could be as part of the debate between Yonason and Shaul. Vayakub ayomahu ba'plishtim. Klal Yisrael struck that day the plishtim mi'michmosh ayalona, from michmosh to the place ayalon, which was closer to the coast. It was in Shevet Don, and it was closer to the land of the plishtim. So they were in they were fleeing west toward the Mediterranean, toward the sea. And now the people were very weary. Vayat ha'om el hasholo. That's the decree. Vayat ha'om el hasholo. The word vayat is like the word vateret ho'ayit al hapagorin. It says by the Brisbane Abasorim, Avram Avinu fell into a deep sleep and he saw. They had the pieces of meat that were cut up, the animals that were cut up, and there was like a vulture, and Ayat came to take the pieces. Ayat is to dig in like a vulture, to attack with a ferocity, to just grab whatever you can grab. Vayad ha'om el ha'sholol. The people just dove and just dived right into the sholol to immediately attack the food. What sholol did they take? By Yikhutzon Uvokar, they took sheep, cattle, Uvnei Bokar, and the young cattle, by Yishchatu Artson, they shechted it. By the ground, see what that means? By Yochal Ha'om Al Hadom, and the people ate with the blood. The Pusuk, the way we have it, the Ksiv, is Vayas Ha'om, the people did the following. That El Sholol, they went to booty. Or they went to whatever there was. In other words, Vayasa'om, like, you know, someone would say, let's do lunch or whatever. And they did this. Vayasa'om, they did the spoils, and they took, and it mentions what they took. The Kri is more showing, in other words, they didn't just go in a, something that they did, they happened to take whatever shol or whatever spoils they got. It was Vayad'ahom. They, like, attacked it. They attacked the spoils. El Hasholol. Not just any spoils. They weren't going after the gold. They weren't going after the clothing. They weren't going after anything. It was Hasholol, a very specific spoils. What were they diving in to get? The food. Vayichutzon, uvokor, b'nei bokor. They took the animals. Vayishchetuartz, and they shechted. Vayochalom al adam, and the people ate. Because the people ate, because we just said, Vayoaf ha'om me'od. The people were very weary and very drained. Vayagidu l'shol lemor. They told Shol, saying, Hine ha'om chotim l'Hashem. Behold, the people are sinning to Hashem. Lechol al hadom. To eat with the blood. The question is, what exactly were they doing? What does it mean they were sinning to eat al hadom? Rashi says, it's interesting because there are different pshatim in Chazal. This Rashi says is, and the Gemara discusses it. But Rashi says, Oymer ani, I say, the plain meaning of the pasuk is, Oysev es b'no lo sishchatu, that a person is not allowed to shech the mother and the offspring of an animal on the same day. That's an isa d'oraisa. And that's what they did over here. And I assume Rashi learned that because it says they took tzoyin. Tzoyin is the sheep or goat family. Ubokar is cattle. Ubnei bokar and young cattle. So the plain meaning of the pasuk is, Oysev es b'no lo sishchatu, that a person is not allowed to shech the mother and the offspring of an animal on the same day. That's an isa d'oraisa. And that's what they did over here. And I assume Rashi learned that because it says they took tzoyin. Tzoyin is the sheep or goat family. Ubokar is cattle. Ubnei bokar and young cattle. Why is the pasuk stressing? Cattle and young cattle. Bnei bokar. It's mashma the bokar and their children. So it could be that vera is oisev es b'noi. And then I guess vayochal ahom al hadom is either a different transgression, which we'll learn about, or maybe the very fact that they ate al-hadom means they did something wrong with the blood, meaning they shechted something they weren't allowed to shech. They can't shech the mother and the offspring. So vayochal ahom al-hadom, what they did with the blood, with the shechita, was there was something wrong with their eating. They did wrong. Chazal say, the Gemara and Kutchim, and this is actually a complicated sugya, we're going to see later on, that Chazal discussed that the animals were made korbanos. In other words, since this was a moment of victory, they whatever spoils they got, they were makdish to Hashem. It was kutchim. They were going to bring it as a korban shlomen. And the rule with a korban is it needs a shechita. The blood is spritzed on the mizbeach. Over here, they're going to set up a mizbeach, the zrikas hadam, and then afterwards, the meat of the korban is eaten. Over here, they made the animals kutchim and they shechted it. Vayochal om haladom could mean they ate before a zrika was done on the blood. Or there was a procedural error over here. The people were just so eager to eat. Maybe they thought it was almost like a sakana. They ate before they did a zrika of the dam. The Radak has another pshat that could be they took the tzoyin and the bokar and the bnei bokar vayishchatu orts, they shechted it right on the ground. In other words, instead of having the animal somehow suspended in there, the animal's head was right against the ground and they shechted. So what happened was, when the animal was shechted, the blood wasn't able to drain away. I don't know, like when you salt meat, it's got to be on some type of board where the blood can drain. Here, when they shechted vayishchetu orts, there was a stress on the fact they shechted on the ground. So when they shechted, the animal was sitting in the pool of blood. The blood didn't drain. The blood got reabsorbed in the animal, which is not allowed. And they ate the meat as it was with the blood that had been absorbed, and that was their aveira. Now, Barbanel mentions that there's a pasuk in the Torah, which is also, there are many ways in, that Chazal interpreted. It was in Parshas Kedoshim. It says, Lo sochlu al hadom, you can't eat with the blood. Lo snachashuv, lo sonenu, and different types of like sorcery or divinations, you know, nichush, and saying certain times are fortunate times or bad times, you know, something with that, you know, among those witchcraft type of, you know, those suspicions, superstitions. In that pasuk it says, Lo sochlu al hadom. In other words, and Chazal have many ways of interpreting what Lo sochlu al hadom is. It could mean that when people were oivet avodah zarah, they shechted, and when the blood was right there, they ate the meat right near the blood as part of their rites of idolatry. They ate together with the blood being right there. Now over here, they weren't involved at all, chas v'shalom, in avodah zarah. But somehow to do this type of action, could be that's also included on the Lo sochlu al hadom that the Torah means, or could be it's too much similar to what the Torah means, that they were held accountable. And by the way, that's one of the pesukim where there are many ways of interpreting. The Chazal learned from Lo sochlu al hadom that when Sanhedrin says somebody's chayiv misa, and when Sanhedrin kills somebody, that day they're not allowed to eat. Don't eat on the day that somebody's killed. Lo sochlu al hadom. Chazal even have an asmachta, find some support for the idea you shouldn't eat a meal, you shouldn't eat before davening, from Lo sochlu al hadom. Before you pray for your own self, don't eat al hadom before you prayed for your life. Got to daven first. But there are many things that are learned up from that pasuk. But vayochal ha'am al hadom, the people ate by the blood, and Shaul was told. And there's another pshat, vayochal ha'am lo sochlu al hadom, that after an animal is shechted, you can't eat from it until the ad she teitzei nafsha, until the animal's dead. Or as it takes a short amount of time till the animal is not living. So even if it's shechted, you can't eat. You have to wait a moment. You have to wait till the animal dies. Somehow the people just, vayochal ha'am al hadom means they ate before the animal was totally dead. But v'yagidu l'shol leimor hineihom chotim l'Hashem lechol al hadom. They told Shaul, telling him that the people are sinning to Hashem, lechol al hadom, they're eating by the blood. Vayomer, so Shaul said, begadatem. And that's a very strong term. Begadatem, you acted treacherously. But the concept in begadatem is, if somebody does you a favor, and you turn around, and you hurt them, that's called a begida. That's, in other words, instead of repaying good, you went ahead and not only did you ignore their good gesture, you went ahead and you paid them back bad. That's what we say in Vidu, Yashamnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does so much good for us, and yet we do an Aveira. That's Bagadnu. And that's what Shaul's saying. Today's a day of Hashem does a nace for you. The Plishtim are running away. And at this point, right at the point of victory, you're doing Aveira. The people are Chutim, Lashem, Lechol al Adam, whatever the taina was. But the people are doing an Aveira at the moment that Hashem gives you such a victory. Begadatem. Golu Eli Hayom Evan Gedola. Roll over to me today a large stone, a boulder. Now, we're going to see in a moment, he's going to supervise the Shechita. And that will alleviate the problems that we just mentioned. If the problem was the shechti on the ground and the animal's sitting in the blood and the blood's not draining away properly, so if they roll over a large stone and they shecht it in that place, Shaul will be there supervising. Could be they shecht it on the stone, the blood, he'll make sure that the blood is draining away properly. If the problem is that they're eating right next to the blood, like the Ovdei Avodah Zarah would do, but if the sheet is right by Shaul and he sees to it, they take the meat and they go to their area to eat, you won't have that problem. You won't have the problem of them eating before the animal is dead, because he's going to shecht it by the time they take the meat and they go where they're going. They take the animal, it won't be living anymore. so the different problems will be alleviated. Osav Espino also, if they'll be able to see, I guess, in a case where they know it's the mother and the young, I guess if they bring the two animals and you can tell one is the baby with its mother, if they're brought to Shoal, to Shech, they'll make sure that's not done. So whatever the taina is, and if they're eating before Zrikas Hadam was done, if it's done by Shoal, he'll supervise. So Golu Eli Hayom Evan Gdola, roll over to me a large stone, and that's where they'll do the Shechita. Vayomer Shoal. Shoal said, Putsu Ba'om, scatter among the people. Putsu is like something like that's smashed, that's broken into tiny pieces. In other words, Putsu Ba'om means scatter, be all over the camp. Va'martim lehem, and tell them, Hagishu Eli Ish Soro, that everyone should bring to me, every man should bring his ox. V'ish Siyehu, and they should bring their sheep. Sheep and goats, is the Seh. Ushchatetem bozev achaltem, and you'll shecht it here, and you'll be able to eat. By the way, Chazal learned out the gematria. One of the places they learn out, they use a gematria. The gematria of the word bozev is 14. That the length of a shechita knife is 14 fingers. The length of the blade of the shechita knife is learnt out from this pasuk, Ushchatetem bozev achaltem, how long the shechita knife should be, 14 fingers long. It could be it's just an asmachta that they had a messer. The basic idea in shechita is that it has to be long enough for, I believe, two widths of the animal's neck. And it has to, there's a certain, but the idea of having 14 fingers, 14, a length of 14 is the gematria bozev. Vachaltem and you'll eat. And you won't sin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to eat by the blood. And the whole people brought close. They brought their ox, biyado, in his hand. Halayla, at night. And they shecht it over there. And one thing that the Meforshim point out, it said in Pasuk Lamedal, Vamartem lohem. It said in the end of Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Golu Eli Hayom, roll over for me today a large stone. Here it says they all brought the animals Halailo at night, Vayishchatu Shomon they shechted. The discussion in the Gemara is if this was Kodshim, in other words, if the animals they made Hektish and they were shechting it like a korban. Well, Kodshim in the Beis HaMikdash had to be shechted during the day. So, how could it be, on one hand, it's hard to, Kodshim have to be shechted during the day, unless you learn that a Bamas Yochid, this private altar, could be shechted at night, and that's what the Gemara discusses in Zavoch. Another point is that if it was still during the day, does that fall under the Shavua that Shoal made, that nobody's supposed to eat that day? Or were the people eating during the day? The Barbanel learns that actually it was everyone was eating at night. All this happened at night. Because he says that if the people were eating during the day, why was Shoal angry at Yonason for tasting the honey if everybody's shechting and eating meat and having a real feast during the day? So it could be, even though he said, Golu Eli Hayom, roll over for me today a large stone, Hayom just means like now. Or by Kodshim, the night follows the day, so it could be he used the term Hayom, it's all part of the original day. But I say those are the discussions exactly, was this happening during the day? Perhaps after the victory they were allowed to eat? Or was it at night? If it's at night, so if it's Kodshim, is Kodshim allowed to be shechted at night? But they all brought their animals, and it was shechted halayla at night, vayishchatusham. Vayiven Shoal Mizbeach LaShem. Shoal built the Mizbeach to Hashem. Oso Heichel, this was the Mizbeach that he began, Livnos Mizbeach LaShem, to build a Mizbeach LaShem. Meaning, later on, Shoal may have built many times a Mizbeach, but this was the first time that Shoal built the Mizbeach. When he came to Gilgal, where he had earlier, and he didn't wait for Shmuel, and he brought a korban, there was already a Mizbeach there. People used to gather in Gilgal and bring korbanos. This was the first Mizbeach he built. Could be, again, the fact that Klal Yisrael had a special victory. He did something to serve Hashem that he hadn't done previously. Another Chazal's Oso Heichel, this Mizbeach was the first one, he was actually the first king, but it was the first one built by Jewish kings. Later on, they also built other Mizbeachos, but Shaul was the first one as a king to build a Mizbeach. Oso Heichel, some Mefarshim learned that this could be a source for, you know, when they put up a new building and they lay the cornerstone, and they're mechabit somebody to place that cornerstone. Oso Heichel, some learns, is he did the beginning, like he placed the cornerstone for the altar. So he did the beginning, and therefore that's considered like he built this as the Mizbeach. And one last shot is Oso Heichel, he began to build it. He built it in a sort of temporary manner, just to bring Korbanos right then, and after the victory, and when the dust settled and everything was finished, they properly completed the Mizbeach. Right now they only had time to begin it, so that they could bring whatever Korbanos. So that's what he began, leaving us Mizbeach Lashem, to build the Mizbeach Lashem. You're asking whether you can find the cornerstone nowadays. A lot of the Mizbeachos, when it says in Novi, a lot of times it says Ad HaYom HaZeh, some of Farshim say Ad HaYom HaZeh means till the Sefer Shmuel was written. But and this part of Shmuel was actually written by Shmuel. Sefer Shmuel was written by Shmuel up to the point where Shmuel was no longer living. But this first part was written by Shmuel. Anyways, but I'm sure he didn't have his name on the cornerstone. Yeah. Vayomer Shol. Shol said, Ner do achrei plishtim laila. Let's pursue after the plishtim at night. Vinovoza bohem ad or haboker. And we're going to plunder, we're going to take whatever spoils they have before daybreak. Velonashir bohem ish. And therefore nobody will remain. They'll be totally destroyed. They're the plishti army. Vayomru, and the people said, Kol atov beinecha asei. Whatever's good in your eyes, do. And we're going to see later on, it's again, Klal Yisrael, like said, okay, whatever you say. It's as a king, for a king to say something, and for everyone to say we agree, you know, it's brought down in Hilchas Kippud Avaim. If your parent tells you something, and then you say, you know, he says an opinion, and you say, I agree, that's also, that's a level of chutzpah. Who are you to agree with your parent? Now, if your parent says something, he needs you to concur. Imagine if you had a group of, let's say, doctors discussing some medical issue, and every doctor saying what he feels need to be done, and you just say, you know, I think you're right. I look at you like, who are you to give your opinion, your medical opinion, together with all these doctors? A person should have that type of respect for a parent. If a parent says something, it's not like, who are you to agree? I say it's hard for us to appreciate that level of kibud over aim, but that's the halacha. And certainly with a king says, let's pursue after the plishtim at night, and the people say, whatever you say, we're with you. But you see that the people, Shaul expected, and the people gave him their approval, and he made sure everyone was, hey, you know, agree with that decision. Vayomer HaKohen, the Kohen said, Nikrovo Halom El Ho'alokim. Now, I don't know if there was any taina on him doing it, because the Kohen Gadol, could be that's his role. But everyone agreed with Shaul, except for the Kohen. The Kohen said, one minute, can't go running after the Plishtim. Let's ask the Urim V'tumim if we'll be successful. Now, Shaul obviously didn't feel the need to ask the Urim V'tumim. Could be Shaul felt there's nothing to ask. The Plishtim are running away. Now is at night, we're able to chase after them. It's not a question if they should pursue. Of course they got to go after the Plishtim.
Why now, not giving them battle or anywhere?
The truth is, we had earlier, the question is, why now to ask the Urim V'Tumim and not earlier? We had earlier that Shaul originally wanted to ask the Urim V'Tumim, should we go after the Plishtim? And then he realized the Plishtim are scattering, and it's like sort of now or never. In other words, there's no time to ask for the Kohen to put himself in the frame of mind and to ask. There's no time. It has to be done immediately. So, but over here, they had already taken a break and they had all eaten. I say the Abarbanel, the Meforshim prefer to learn that it was, the simple meaning, it was that night. If you're going to learn that the Shechita was during the day, you run into problems. If it was the first day, so it was the day that no one was allowed to eat. How could they be eating karbonos? And if, when he said during the day, it'd be the following day, roll over to me today in Evan Gadola the following day, then to say chase after them the following night, that's like way after the defeat. It seems to fit in that they defeated the Plishtim in that day, and at night they took a break and they ate. And Shaul said, let's not give up the war. Let's finish it up. Finish up the job. But the Kohen said, Nikrovo halom el ho'elokim. We have to ask the Urim v'Tumim. Could be we took a break, and the Plishti army, which was much, much larger than the Jewish army, could be they pulled back and they ran away, and then all of a sudden they realized, hey, no, why are we running? When we started running, there were two people there. You know, in other words, we were caught by an element of surprise. What are we doing? And they'll regroup and come right back. So you're assuming it's just easy, you know, nobody will remain alive. We'll finish the job. You're not finishing the job. This is a separate campaign. Let's ask the Urim V'Tumim. Vayishal Shaul Be'elokim. So Shaul asked the Urim V'Tumim. You know, the Kohen Gadol asked for him. Ha'evid Achrei Plishtim. Should I go after the Plishtim? Hasidnim Biad Yisrael. Are you going to give them over to Klal Yisrael? We had earlier in Shoftim by Pilegesh Begiva, sometimes you can ask the Urim V'Tumim, should you go to war? And the answer is yes. And then you go to war and you lose. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you to lose. So here also he said, should I go after the Plishtim? The answer might be yes, and it could be Klal Yisrael will lose. So he asked, first of all, should I go after the Plishtim? And if we go, will Klal Yisrael win? Hasinim Biad Yisrael, v'lo'ano bayomahu. And he was not answered that day. It was a clear, and in other words, they asked the Urim V'Tumim and there was no response. Could be also, ha'ered achrei plishtim. Should I go after the plishtim? And he saw he wasn't getting a response. So he already said, you know, maybe it's not my zechus, not should I go after the plishtim. Hasinim biad Yisrael, what about Klal Yisrael? Will you give over the plishtim to the hands of Klal Yisrael? But still, there was no answer. V'lo ano bayomahu, he wasn't answered that day. The Targum says he wasn't answered v'lo kabel tzloise by biyoma ha'hu. His tefillah was not accepted that day. Or when he asked the Urim V'Tumim, it was accompanied by davening. And when they davened, they saw a response. And here they davened with the Urim V'Tumim, and there was no answer. Also, by the way, I say in terms of just working out exactly when everything happened, it's of note that the Urim V'Tumim is called the Choshen HaMishpat. It's like Mishpat, like a court case, like Din. And Mishpat has to be done during the day. So some of Forshim say it was actually at night, and the Kohen said, let's ask the Urim V'Tumim. And once he made that suggestion, they actually had to wait till daybreak, because you can't ask the Urim V'Tumim at night. And the Kohen Gadol has to wear his Big Day Kahuna, and it has to be done as part of, and he goes in front of the Aron, which is normally only done as an Avoida, that asking the Urim V'Tumim had to be during the day. So they actually had to wait till the day to ask the Urim V'Tumim. And then I guess they would have pursued in the day, but the Kohen said they should do it, and everyone went along. But they weren't answered. By Yomer Shaul, so Shaul said, Goshu Halom, come close here. Kol Pino Sa'om, all of the leaders of the people. Or it could be all the different Shavuotim were in different corners. They were all camped in different places. Everyone should gather here. Ude'u, re'u, and know and see b'mo hoisa achatos hazos hayom. With what was this Aveira today? If we weren't answered now, it means there's an Aveira right now. Ki chai Hashem. As there's a lashon of a Shavua. Now, as I swear by the chai Hashem, like the life of Kavi Yochon, as it's a lashon of Shavua. HaMoshias Yisrael, Hashem saves Klal Yisrael. Kim Yeshno B'Yonason B'ni Kimos Yomus. If the Aveir is with my son Yonason, he'll die. Ve'eno Neu Mikol Ha'om. But nobody answered Shaul. Nobody answer. Why was Yonasan Chayev Misa? The last Ramban in Parshas Bechukosai, there's a pasuk in the Torah that's interpreted different ways. But I'm just going to tell you the way the Ramban learns it. And at the end of Bechukosai, Kol Cheirim Asher Yocharam Min Ha'odam. If the king or the Sanhedrin Gedola, with all of Klal Yisrael, in the presence of Klal Yisrael, makes something Cheirim, off limits, like consecrated or designated, Kol Cheirim Asher Yocharam Min Ha'odam. There are certain times when they'll designate something as a Cheirim and as off limits. Such a thing lo yipode. There can't be a redemption. Normally when you makdish something, if it goes to Bet HaKabayis, it can be redeemed. But this type of thing can't be redeemed. Mos yomus. If he goes against the king of the Sanhedrin in the presence of Klal Yisrael, such a person is Chayiv Misa. I say Rashi says differently, and there are different ways of explaining that posuk. But the posuk of Kol Cheirim Asher Yocharam Min Ha'odom, there's an example of a Cheirim that lo yipode mos yomus. So Shaul felt that Yonasan, in other words, if Yonasan is being held responsible, and that's why the Urim V'Tumim is not answering, it's almost as if Shaul is not the one giving him the punishment. It's a message Min HaShemayim. The not answering is obviously a message Min HaShemayim that Hashem is not giving Klal Yisrael the victory. There's no response. And if this is the reason that's endangering Klal Yisrael, and it's breaking the Cheirim, even if it's my son Yonas, and don't think with favoritism. Mosiumus, Kimosiumus, Veino Naomi Kolam, nobody answered him. Could be the people didn't know. Could be somebody had told Shaul. We had somebody told Shaul that Yonasan ate. So it could be even if Yonasan was right there, he knows, my father knows that I ate. He knows I don't have to speak up and say I ate. He knows my father knows that I ate. If my father would like to have it proven by a Goyrel or proven by the Urim V'Tumim, there was no need for him to say anything, because whatever he would say was already known. But Shaul asked, who's responsible? And there was no answer. Vayomer el kol Yisrael, so he said to Klal Yisrael, Atem tiyu le'ever echad. You should go on one side. Vani v'yonason b'ni niyeh le'ever echad. And I and my son Yonason will be on the other side. They'll do a goyrel. One piece of paper, let's say, with him and his son Yonason, the other paper with Klal Yisrael. By Yomro Amal Shaul, and the people again said to Shaul, we're with you, Hato Ben Echasei, do what's good in your eyes. By Yomro Shaul, El Hashem Elok Yisrael, then Shaul said to Hashem Elok Yisrael, Hova Samim, give that this girl should be complete, it should be perfect, it should show what's the truth. Vayilochid Yonason v'Shaul. Yonason and Shaul were captured. They were trapped. They were proven by the Goyrel, the Om Yitzo, and everybody else went out. Actually, the truck breaks it up. Vayilochid Yonason, like Yonason was caught, and Shaul and the people left. The truth is, if Yonason and Shaul were written on the same card, on the same Goyrel, so obviously they were together. But the truck signifies that it was clear that Yonason was the one to blame. And I don't think it was because Shaul didn't wait for Shmuel, or they're still being held accountable for that. But no, Shaul, Yonason was the one who was caught. And you see, you need a special tefillah. In other words, a person can't, this is ordinarily, even by Dine Momenus. In other words, if you want to prove who's right or wrong, we're going to argue about a piece of, an article of, is it mine or is it yours? We can't say, okay, we'll flip a coin, and whoever's right, that shows that it's mine, or it shows it's yours. Even by Dine Momenus, you can't do that. If a person gambles like that, we'll play cards, and if my card comes out, it shows the money should be mine. Asmachta lo kanya, you can't, even by mominus, you can't do this kind of lottery. It's certainly not when you're dealing with life and death, to do a girl and decide who's going to die. But over here, that's why Shaul said, El Hashem Elokei Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whose Hashkocha is Elokei Yisrael, whose Hashkocha is on Klal Yisrael. Hova Samim, you should give to show that this is Taka, complete Goyrel. And it was being done in the presence with the Urim V'Tumim, and they knew there should be a proof that indeed the Goyrel is showing the truth. But as I say, it's not the type of thing that, don't go out and do Goyrels and do this type of thing. Vayomer Shaul. Shaul said, Hapilu beini yu vein Yonason beni. Throw the girdle between me and my son Yonason. Is it me or is it him? Vayilochid Yonason, and Yonason was the one who was caught. Yeah, well, in other words, the truth is, I say, assuming that they were both on the same piece of paper, Yonason and Shaul together were caught. But the trump just signifies, in other words, that the truth is, it was in other words, Yonason was known to be the one guilty, but in other words, Shaul, even though there, it was proven again, in other words, it still could have, in other words, the card showed that it was Shaul and Yonason caught. But it was Yonason who was the one. Vayelochid Yonason. Vayomer Shaul Yonason. Shaul said to Yonason, Hagida li me'osisa. Tell me what you did. Vayagid lo Yonason. Yonason told him. Vayomer, and he said, Tom to amti b'kseh hamata asher b'yodi. I tasted with the end of the stick that was in my hand. I tasted ma'at devash, a little bit of honey. Hineni yomus. Here I am. I'm prepared to die. By Yomer Shaul, and Shaul said, Ko yase Elokim v'chol Yosef. This is a lashon of a shvua, like I'm swearing, Kimos Tomus Yonason, that as Yonason said, I already said, whoever is the one who's guilty, this is a clear proof, min hashamayim, that Yonason is the one who has to die. By Yomer Homel Shaul, the people said to Shaul, Ha Yonason Yomus. Is Yonason going to die? Asher osa ha Yeshua ha-gedola ha-zos b'Yisrael. He did this tremendous Yeshua for Klal Yisrael. Chalila. Chas v'sholom. Forbid it. Chai Hashem im yipo misaros rosho arza. Chai Hashem. Aloshen Shavu again. We swear not a hair of his head will fall to the ground. Kim Elokim oso hayom hazeh. What he did today was done with Hashem. He brought about the miracle. How could it be if the miracle in Yeshua comes from Klal Yisrael, he's being held responsible for eating something that was a shoygeg? In other words, even if the complaint was he should have found out, that Shaul give instructions, like we discussed before. But obviously, if he brought about the Yeshua, he's not this, what he did should be judged as a shoygeg, as unintentional, and he's not chayv misa. Vayiftu amas Yonason v'lomeis, the people redeemed Yonason and he didn't die. Meaning, as Rashi says, they were matir the neder. Right? Shaul made an oath, and they released him from that oath. Vayal Shaul miachri plishtim. Shaul went up from after the plishtim. Uplishtim holchu limakomam, and the plishtim went back to their place, and the battle was over. We'll leave the last few pesukim for the next year, within the next parak.